Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.
This week on the show, from Iron Man 3 and Sonic the Hedgehog, Adam Pally. From The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, River Clegg. From Dropout TV, Zach and Jess. Plus, Allison Rosen and Rob Kuttner. It's The Novelizers.
Don't want your popcorn, don't want your milk duds, don't want my shoes stuck in pools of sticky cola. Don't show me romance, don't show me fist fights, just show me words printed out.
Welcome to The Novelizers. We have a fantastic show for you this week. Dave Hill has jury duty or something, but fret not because I'm joined by the writer, comedian, and podcast host extraordinaire, Allison Rosen. Welcome to The Novelizers, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me. I am very honored to be filling Dave Hill's shoes and chair. I'm a giant Dave Hill fan.
Well, thanks for joining. And I'm a giant Novelizers fan. And of course, Dave Hill has two shoes, so filling the other shoe is our Novelizers regular, Rob Kuttner. Hey, Rob.
Hey, I'm just happy to be filling Dave Hill's ascot.
It's a big ascot to fill.
Big ass ascot, for sure.
Yeah.
I interviewed him many... So before I had a podcast, I had a little web show, and I interviewed him. And I remember he was sort of in a tizzy because all of his, like... He discovered that he had moths in his apartment, and he had so many fine cashmeres and velvets and things that I recall him specifically saying, "It's a situation."
Hashtag Dave Hill problems.
Yeah, I think Dave Hill's version of hell is discovering a moth in his closet. Yeah. The man is well dressed. There's no doubt about it.
And did you know Dave Hill, ironically, is in Adam Pally's comedy special? And if either you've seen it, he plays on stage music on stage with them. Doesn't have any lines, but you see him and you see the ascot and that hair and that look, that like I'm doing my rock thing right now look.
That's amazing. He's such a good musician. He's too talented. That's why you had to get rid of it. For this world, he had to go.
He
is. Yeah. He's too talented for this world.
So speaking of people who are too talented for this world, Allison, sorry, how about that segue?
Amazing segue.
Guest host, what talented people besides you two are on the show today?
Oh, well, we have, was that smooth or was that, so it's as if I was meant to introduce people. We have Adam Pally. He's an actor, comedian, writer, and producer, best known for starring as Max in the ABC comedy series Happy Ending, and as Dr. Peter Prentice in The Mindy Project. He also starred in the Fox comedy Making History and was the executive producer of The President Show. That's not it, though. We also have River Clegg. He's written for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, The New Yorker, Clickhole, The Onion, and he is way too ruggedly handsome to be as neurotic as he is. Also joining us today are Zach Reno and Jess McKenna. They're a musical duo best known for their podcast Off Book, the improvised musical, and their appearances on Dropout TV.
And you, Allison, you're on loan from your podcast. Allison Rosen is your new best friend. Tell the Novelizers listeners about that show.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've been doing that show for 14 years now. It started as a video show before that even, so it's fresh and it's what Gen Z yearns for. It comes out twice a week. Monday is an interview with a notable person, or sometimes just I catch up with my husband. And then on Thursday, we have a group of us and we talk about all sorts of things. We do segments. This new segment that I've introduced is one where we just talk about our favorite words. And I announced it is already my favorite segment because I love words. And if I could do anything, it would be just to think about and talk about words all the time, which I've never really been able to like wedge that into the podcast in such a pure form. So now I'm just like, we're just talking about words, guys. And people have brought some great words already. And we are just starting this segment. And then we have other segments as well that are maybe have a little bit more of a concept behind them.
It's like Words with Friends.
It is literally Words with Best Friends. Oh my God, that's what I should call it. Words with Best Friends.
Branding.
I love that. Thank you very much.
And Rob, you've been on a guest on Allison's show as well.
Many times. I'm going to call Allison's show is so good, it's worth driving over the hill for. And that, you know, if you know LA, that is the highest praise that could possibly be said.
That is the highest praise. Whenever, you know, as you guys know, as podcasters, before you hit record, there's this question of like how much you talk to the person, how much, you know, because like you want to get the good stuff on air, but you also, so you end up making like sort of awkward chit chat, small talk. And I often ask the person, so where do you live? And I just hope they don't say on the West Side. Again, this is hyper local, but if they do say on the West Side, then I feel extremely guilty for making them, you know, drive over the hill. So thank you, Rob.
I think guilt is a good vibe to start a podcast with.
Isn't it though?
Climbing out of a hole from the get-go.
I should have guilted you two into coming to Ohio for this.
You're in the West Side of Dayton, right?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah, do it.
I'll do it.
Come over. We can hit pause. So we are in the middle of the Dark Knight. Allison, have you ever seen the film? It's not a criteria for coming on this show.
I'm embarrassed to say that I have not seen The Dark Knight. It's been suggested to me. I've been wanting to see it. From what I gather, I think I would like it, although I scare easily. But here's the interesting thing. You know who recommended this movie to me? My therapist, years ago. I know. She has made the most sus, to use a word my kids would use, she's made the most sus movie recommendations. But I believe she said that she thought it was a good depiction of mental illness or like of psychopathy. Is that accurate?
So is it like if you're not that, then you're good? Is that sort of like the benchmark?
See, the weird thing is that I almost felt like it was like not relating to just sort of a, just make, just like human to human, this is an interesting movie, and less that it applied to my life, or maybe I just want to think that. She also recommended Molly's Game. Do you remember that movie?
I didn't see that.
It was Jessica Chastain, and she's like a poker player. And she recommended that because of something about Molly's relationship with her father. I was like talking about father stuff.
That sounds closer to therapy than the first one.
Yeah, but I feel like it's like, I don't think Molly's Game got good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And then she also recommended that documentary with Jonah Hill, Stutz, or about his therapist.
Do you guys like ever talk about you, or just is it just Rex nonstop?
We just we talk about Leonard Maltin's reviews.
Okay.
We talk about Siskel and Ebert, and we meet at a movie theater. It's very unconventional. No, we do. I've been going to her for a while, so you know. But she also quotes, and she's older than I am, but she quotes Taylor Swift sometimes.
It's sounding very LA.
She's pretty cool.
It is very LA, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
She used to work in the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
of course. Didn't we all?
Have you guys seen it?
Well, we kind of have to as
part of the gig. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if I'll go so far as to recommend it. Actually,
I liked it when it came out, and then it really kind of curdled on me. I'm going to say, like, I think it was kind of interesting and innovative. The voice was different at the time, and now I just feel like there's all kinds of problems with it, and there's some corny parts to it and stuff like that. I mean, Heath Ledger is amazing in it. There's some cool ideas in it, and you know, Batman's always interesting, I think, but it's this whole dark thing that just went down this even worse path, and I didn't really enjoy that.
Pretty humorless, considering there's a character named the Joker.
The Joker, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also really long, too. It kind of just keeps going on. It has like 4 or 5 acts, like a Shakespeare play.
Is it a good depiction of mental illness or of being a psychopath? Is there any of that in there? I mean, there is, right?
I mean, it's okay. I think it has some of that. I mean, honestly, like also problematic is the movie Joker, but I think that really... I think that really does drill deeper into like how mental illness starts and sort of how it manifests and you know, like you get the look of how he becomes that. So that's interesting. What do you think, Stephen?
I guess now that you mention it, the Joker does have some mental health issues. I never thought about it that way, but Batman too, actually.
Yeah. My son has a great take on him. He calls Bruce Wayne. He says Batman is just like a millionaire who likes beating up and mentally ill people.
None of this is making me like itch to watch the movie.
Yeah. You know what? Listen to the novelization.
I think it'll help with your dad. Oh, wait. No, I don't think it'll.
No, that's Molly's game.
Yeah.
Speaking of the movie, Rob, where are we in the movie?
Well, Stephen, I'd say where aren't we? Sorry, that was stupid. Where we are is the Joker burns his share of the mob money, kills the Chechen, good riddance Chechen, and puts a target on Coleman Reese's back on national TV. He actually threatens to blow up a hospital if Reese isn't dead within minutes. Now, ironically, the thing about the Joker is he never jokes, so he actually goes ahead and blows up Gotham General Hospital. What an asshole.
Thank you, Rob. Adam Pally, novelize us.
The Dark Knight, a most faithful retelling of events which hath transpired in the moving picture The Knight of Darkness, novelized by River Clegg, narrated by Adam Pally. Exterior, Seattle. The Chechen gangster shows up to the big metal boat with his gangster friends. The Chechen and his friends became gangsters because they love money. And good news, there's money on the boat, a big pile of it. The Chechen hopes that some of the money can be his. Note, the boat is a huge boat, not a rowboat. A rowboat couldn't hold very much money, but this boat can, a big pile of it. And so, the Joker is there, in the boat's insides, standing on the big pile of money, and he slides down it like a slide, because the Joker has not lost his sense of childlike wonder and whimsy, and that's something we can all learn from. There's also a guy tied up on the money pile, but he probably deserved to be tied up, so no worries. Before we continue, it should be noted that two actors have won Oscars for playing the Joker. Heath Ledger and Sir Laurence Olivier. Most prefer Ledger's dark, brooding take, but there are viewers who like Olivier's interpretation, in which the Joker keeps saying, "I am a man Shakespeare made up, avast!" Ledger and Olivier are now happily married to each other. The Joker explains to the Chechen that half of the money can be his, and the Chechen smiles and high-fives his gangster friends. "This is why we became gangsters," one of them says excitedly. "Because we love money!" "Yes, but also because we have troubled past," says another. The Chechen nods solemnly. But, psych, half the money actually cannot be the Chechen's, because the Joker decides he wants to burn the big money pile. Note, which the guy who sat up on top of the money pile is still tied up there, and while yes, he deserved to be tied up, does he deserve to be enveloped in the flames as well? In this author and narrator's opinion, yes, don't worry about it. End note. "No fair," whines the Chechen, but the Joker has already begun slow dancing with his Oscar statue. The dance ends, but the Chechen is still standing there. "Why are you still here?" asks the Joker, and the Chechen explains that he promised his friends they could get pizza on the way back. "Why?" asked the Joker. "Because I was hoping to take some of the money pile, the money that's now burning, some of the money I would have used to buy pizza." "That's so thoughtful of you. You're a great friend."
"Thank you."
"I'm going to have some goons kill you with knives now, if that's okay."
"That's okay. I'd rather die than not get money."
"Well, it's settled then. This was great."
Elsewhere, in Seattle, what's going on is there's this guy who's kind of a twerp named Coleman Reese. He's figured out that Batman is Bruce Wayne, which is pretty obvious when you think about it. But earlier on, Morgan Freeman was like, "No, he isn't." And for some reason, that explanation seems to have worked. And some people consider this the best film ever made. So anyway, the Joker gets a big bullhorn and tells all of Seattle that he's going to blow up a hospital if somebody doesn't kill Coleman, which, if your goal is for Coleman Reese to die, you could do a lot worse than this plan. Another thing, this movie has 4,000 bad guys. The Joker is one, but another is Harvey Face Guy Dent. His nickname never made sense, but now it does because his face is messed up and red because, like, I think he shaved wrong. It's so bad that he's in the hospital for shaving wrong, which the Joker is getting ready to blow up.
How are you doing, Face Guy?
Asks the Joker as he strolls into Face Guy's hospital room.
Can't complain, Harvey replies with a grin.
Because it's funny to me as the narrator because his face is...
Really?
Asks the Joker.
Even with your horrific face injury? Not to mention how the woman you love is now dead? Something this chapter has yet to mention until now. I'm the one who killed her, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
replies Face Guy. He seems sad all of a sudden because he's weak and he's shaved wrong. Oh, right. The Joker is also dressed as a nurse in this scene because he hasn't lost his sense of childlike wonder and whimsy. Remember when he burned the guy in the money pile? That must have been bad for him. The Joker also tells Face Guy about his philosophy.
I'm not a planner, confesses the Joker. I just do things that seem fun at the time.
You seem to really live in the moment,
agrees Face Guy.
Exactly. But all these other bad guys, this movie has 4,000 of them, they want me to be more on task. Money this, payments that. I just want to light things on fire and hurt people.
Face Guy nods sympathetically. He seems to be even sadder than before, which is quite pathetic.
Well, would it cheer you up if I gave you a gun that you could point at me? Asks the Joker.
It would, answers Face Guy.
And suddenly he's happy again. He flips a coin that decides whether he's going to shoot the Joker or let him live. And while we don't see whether the coin ends up heads or tails, it's a good bet that it lands on let the Joker live side because the Joker still keeps doing stuff in the movie later on.
After a short intermission, the Joker lets Face Guy go and walks out of the hospital. The Joker takes out a little handheld device from his pocket and hits a button, which is supposed to make the hospital blow up, but it doesn't blow up right away. And he then realizes that what he's holding is not a detonator, but a BlackBerry phone from 1988.
Oh my God,
the Joker says after dialing a number and putting the phone to his ear.
You'll never guess what I just did.
What is it, sweetheart? Answers Sir Laurence Olivier.
I tried blowing up the hospital, but I pulled out my phone instead of the detonator, and I was all,
That's hilarious, answers Sir Laurence Olivier. I know the movie is still going on, but congrats on your Oscar for it. Do you think we should have a little wedding where our Oscars get married to each other?
I do, the Joker said,
and then pulled out the detonator, blowing up Seattle General Butt Hospital.
Thank you, Adam. We will be right back with more Novelizers right after this.
Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.
And we're back. And I am so excited to announce a new feature on the podcast, Ask Dave Hill Your Questions. Just email thenovelizers@gmail.com and you can ask Dave anything. Dark Knight spoilers, fashion advice, guitar advice, dog care advice. Dave is very wise. Rob, what would you ask Dave Hill?
Where are you, Dave?
Yeah,
where'd
Dave,
you go?
Where are you? Why won't you talk to us? Well, don't ask me. Email thenovelizers@gmail.com. That's thenovelizers@gmail.com. And Dave Hill may or may not answer your question.
Each week on the show, we talk to someone who actually worked behind the scenes on the film The Dark Knight. And this week, Kevin Carter sat down with Vinny and Francesca Capaldi from Capaldi Cables. It says here they provided the cables that were used in that iconic truck flip sequence. Huh. I got to hear that interview.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the interview portion of The Novelizers. I am Kevin Carter today, and I am here. Well, I'm Kevin Carter every day, but I'm here with, for the first time, we have relatives being on the show today. I have with me Vinny and Francesca Capaldi, and they are cable vendors and also cousins, but they were cable vendors for the movie The Dark Knight. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Hi,
for
Kevin.
Us today.
Wow, this is so amazing. Wow,
so
my
exciting.
Gosh, this is so exciting. This is huge for Capaldi.
But yeah, I'm glad we was able to make this happen. What did you guys do for the movie?
Well, basically, our family is a 200-year-old cable company. Not like the channels you used to get, like physical cables. Think thick wires, Kevin. I want you to picture a thin string. Now thicken it, and now thicken it. And now thicken it, and now thicken it.
Now, depending on how thin the string was that you started with, you're either like about the, like these are thick, like when you look up and you're like, oh, electricity goes through there. That's the kind of cables that we deal with.
Oh, okay, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking internet, Ethernet cables. You know,
No. Common misconception. No. See, our cables predate all of that.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 200 years of making thick wires and metal cables.
200 years?
Yeah.
A lot can change in 200 years.
Oh, yeah, except that we still need thick wires and cables.
Still.
Yeah, you know, think of them like, you know, you're wrenching in a large crabbing cage. You're going to need thick wires and cables.
Because crabs are heavy, and they oftentimes you're often pulling up kelp. You're pulling up buckets, stuff that got held.
I thought crabs was just like nets, like a net.
No, not for the big guys. So we provide cables all over the world, and our great 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 grandmother started this business in Chicago. She was inspired by the World's Fair, and she decided that you know, maybe there are building materials that need to be, you know, they need to be more malleable yet still sturdy. That's sort of like a family motto at the Capaldis: flexible yet strong.
Strong yet flexible, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so basically the you know, because for Nolan, it was important for him to have a lot of authenticity when he was shooting The Dark Knight. Now, Kevin, mm-hmm. even though it takes place in Gotham, a lot of it was shot in Chicago. Gotham is a fake place, they use real cities. And I don't know if your listeners know that about movies.
Because they couldn't shoot it in Gotham. Because
Gotham is a fake city.
Gotham's not real.
Okay, I mean, I'm just throwing this out here. I'm pretty sure that that may be an assumption with our listeners that Gotham isn't real. But thank you, though, for the...
They already know that.
Okay, yeah, okay, okay. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
It was a point of confusion for us when they said, we were doing this thing, it takes place in Gotham, and we said, where is that? Because we try to ship things places if we can.
Right.
Did you try to ship something to Gotham and it returned the sender?
Well, that's how it happened first. And then it turned out we actually didn't need to ship it anywhere because they were working local in Chicago.
Because again, Gotham is not real.
Because Gotham's not real.
Yeah. But it's important for Christopher Nolan, the filmmaker, mm-hmm. that everything feels as realistic as possible. And so we were thrilled to provide a number of realistic cables and wires. Kevin, if you're thinking through the film now, you might get close to imagining one of the iconic scenes that perhaps Capaldi's cables were utilized. It's not when the Joker puts a pencil through the guy's head. We don't make pencils, so it's not that part. We can tell you, but I wanted to see if you might instantly remember this iconic moment on screen.
I would say when he did the monologue and he was like, you know what I'm saying, why so serious when he was talking to
No, Kevin, immediately no. That's not it.
Is there a cable in that scene?
No. There's
yeah, so no. That wouldn't be okay, it. Okay. Yeah, that no. And one? That no, and that prison is in fact made of bars, and we don't provide bars. Those aren't flexible, so they would not be part of the Capaldi family model.
Gotcha. Oh, and I know. The part when he had to choose between the girl and the commissioner,
no,
or the, not the commissioner,
no,
but the
Kevin,
new mayor
no.
or something like that. To
no, Kevin, no, Kevin, no, was... no, no. Again, no wires really featured heavily in that.
Okay.
You know, plot.
Okay.
Point.
Yeah. I could guess 46 more times, but I feel like I won't get it. Could you please?
No,
let
no.
Us
we'll
know
tell you. We'll tell you.
Which,
yeah.
Please. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it's the iconic moment. Some people call it the truck flip. The truck flip. I mean,
they
you
call
might
it
remember
that because it's the moment in the movie where a truck flips.
Where a truck flips?
Yeah. Thank. I'm once again. I can assume that the listeners would know that's. But thank you. Thank
he's
you.
On, yeah, he's yeah. on the. He's on the. What do they call it? The Bat motorcycle. Is that? Mm-hmm. Do they have a name for that? We weren't in charge of that.
The Bat cycle.
The Bat motorcycle. So yeah. He's on the Bat motorcycle and he's driving around and it's got guns.
It's
on the
come
front.
Out of the car. It was in the car.
Yeah,
and
I know what
you're
talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he uses these two little gadgets. Oh, I bet him and Alfred were so excited when they made this gadget. They shoot little harpoons. And what's on the end of those harpoons, Kevin? But genuine Chicago Capaldi cables.
That is a very specific situation.
I know.
But I can see it. I know exactly what you're talking about. So how did that work? How did you guys get to work with Christopher Nolan or just the production company, I'm assuming, to actually get that job?
Oh, no. Nolan and his producer partner, his wife, they came to our storeroom along mm-hmm. with their production designer. They touched all the cables.
They touched them all. And I think that's always good because, and we lose some of this with online shopping today. If you want to really understand a product, you got to get your hands around it and really feel how strong but flexible it is. And they came to us and they said, do you have any cables that would be strong but flexible and would pull over a street light but stop a semi truck if you wrapped it around enough streetlights? And we said, that's not a general math calculation that we know how to do, but if it's a cable, then we can make it.
Yeah, I will say it was deeply collaborative. We had to get the stunt department involved. We had to work with VFX so that they knew how to replicate our cables. They took thousands and thousands of plate shots of all of the cables just in case they wanted to make it look more or less flexible versus strong.
Or change the color.
That's right.
There was a time
they was going to change the color.
There was a time when they were red, and we thought this isn't.
Yeah, that don't fit the movie. Red wouldn't fit the movie.
No.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
That was Vinny. That was your call, right? You said, "Hey, Chris."
The whole movie is about a guy that wears black.
Yeah.
Why do you want the cables to be red? And he was like, "I just think the cables should." I was like, "Look, if you want to make them red, it's your movie." But do it with, let's use the black cables. And then if you need to change it, you can change it in post.
I'm going to just go out here and say this. I feel like you saved the movie. Because I feel like if those cables were red.
It would have been distracting.
Yeah, it's not a hit. Exactly.
And it's really, it's so rewarding because you don't think of a cable as something that's able to flip a truck. And when we watched that happen, we thought, that's our history. That's the work that our forefathers put in.
Everyone knows what it is to trip over a low wire. You know, we've seen it in booby traps.
Everyone's done it.
Everyone knows what that's like.
Everyone's tripped over a low wire at some point in their life.
At some point.
So it almost humanizes the truck. You're like, I know I can trip and fall, but a truck can?
So let's talk about you two for a second. The family business, right? 200 years.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that there are some family members or whatever that they're in the family business, but they don't really care too much for it. It's like, I'm only in it because I have to be.
Well, I think we're probably thinking of the same part of the family right now, but we have a contingency of the Capaldis that about like 50 or 60 years ago, they moved to the Northeast and they live in Martha's Vineyard and they make cable knit sweaters. And it's, you know, it's not the same thing. They try to say like, you know, yarn was the original flexible yet strong. But they're honestly, they're just really annoying, Kevin. They think they're very fancy.
You try and live and let live.
But whenever they show up.
Family is there to test you.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, how is life with like them trying to go off and do their own thing? Are they trying to like take away your business or is everything okay with that or?
I know, like, you know, we have a lot of cousins and there aren't that many spots in the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
We basically can handle most of it with, I'd say, 7 to 9 people.
So
you want people to branch out and make cable knit sweaters. I mean, you don't want them to do that specifically.
Because they're annoying
about
it.
You want
them
to do something.
So like with the life of, you know, saying the cable business, has there been any issues where, this was a bad job or we messed up, something didn't work? Like, was there any issues like that?
With when you're working in cable, safety is paramount, right? Because you are suspending pianos up several flights of steps. You're working within other heavy machinery. You're supplying cables for cranes.
One time that we did sort of mess up is we were responsible for moving Elton John's piano into Wrigley Field for a concert. Mm-hmm. You can do the physics of how thick the cable needs to be for any weight. But I was too nervous and I said, let's bump up a weight. I ain't about to let Elton's red piano crash over home plate, you know. But what I did on accident is every juncture put in, you know, a scrape, a dent. And that is, you know, I'm dismayed to admit that Mr. Elton John did notice. And
now it turns out that he actually has multiple red pianos, which
luckily. Yeah.
And we did call the team that was lifting his blue piano into Dodger Stadium to just sort of advise them to not make the same mistake that we made.
Okay. But he has plenty of them now.
He's got lots of piano. Most of our accidents have been piano based. I remember there was, we dropped a baby grand. The cable was fine. The metal, the pulley that it was around was one of our original hardware. It was 175 years old. And it just, you know, you think of metal as a thing that lasts forever and it does not.
It can give out. It can give out. But I would say about 95% of our accidents over 200 years are piano based.
They're mostly piano based.
Now, I will say, unfortunately, it makes the most beautiful sound of the sound of a crashing piano
Kevin, have you ever heard of Piano Kevin, Shatter?
Have you ever heard of it?
4 to 5 stories up in the air.
I have never
you
heard.
You must
in your life. I mean, I hope everyone remains safe and I hope they have tons of other red pianos, but the sound of a crashing piano, I mean, the percussion, the echo, the gong, it's like hearing Beethoven next to you shout in your ear.
You will not be disappointed.
You'll be horrified, but you will be overjoyed.
Your first thought will be, this is thousands of dollars just sort of destroyed by gravity.
Yeah.
But then your second thought will be, that's just an incredible cacophony of noise.
Not a problem. So I got one last question for you guys. When everybody that comes onto the show, I always ask them about how people can get into the field you guys are into. Now, what's interesting is this is the first time ever it's a family business.
Oh, sure.
So I got to ask anyway, because the listeners are expecting me to ask.
Yeah, we're both single. So I guess the easiest way for either of us would be to sort of marry in.
Yeah, yeah. If you would like to date either me or Vinny, then you can marry into the Capaldi cable business.
Francesca, if you want to do me, I'll do you. I would say this is my cousin Francesca. She's a hard worker.
Thank you.
She's big on her physical fitness.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
She's an incredible cook.
Oh my gosh. Come on. Thanks, Vinny. This is my cousin Vinny, family by blood, friend by choice. He's incredibly quick-witted. He's sensitive and he can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 30 seconds.
Deathly allergic to dogs.
Sorry.
Deathly allergic. Okay.
That's just a thing for me. That's a big one. Which sucks because I love the little guys and the big guys, but can't do it.
Hates the medium guys.
This is cool because now it's like, you know, if you want to be part of this, marry one of us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
that's right.
We could set up a Novelizers date thing and that would find you love and, you know, it's like keep the business going.
Yeah, that's probably the best way that you could get involved in the Capaldi cable business and maybe once every 100 years be a part of an artistic expression.
Yeah.
Because
that's a perfect answer.
Yeah, yeah. Because actually The Dark Knight is not the first time Capaldi's provided wires. There was an avant-garde production of Swan Lake in Chicago in 1905. And we provided thinner wires to lift the swan up in the air. So, you know.
We were in consideration for one of the Mary Martin touring productions of Peter Pan.
Yeah.
That did not shake out, unfortunately.
Those unions are tough to break into. Here's what I'll say. We did not provide the wires for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
That was
so
not
you can't,
us.
Don't come to us.
Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark?
Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark is a Broadway musical show. Famously plagued by a lot of injuries.
And it wasn't Joe.
No.
There were many wire failures and they were not Capaldi. So maybe next time.
All right. Listen, hey, I want to thank you guys for coming out, Vinny and Francesca. Novelizers, please give them a round of applause one more time. And you guys take it easy. Good seeing you.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
I learned so much. That's our show for today. Thank you, Rob Kuttner, for stopping by. Thank you, Allison Rosen. Definitely check out her podcast, Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to Adam Pally, River Clegg, and Zach and Jess. Dave Hill will be back next week for a chapter narrated by Matt Mercer. Love, Matt Mercer.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.
The Novelizers is hosted by me, Dave Hill, and produced by Stephen Levinson. Hey, Stephen. With Graham Douglas, Cole Emhoff, Kevin Carter, Christine Bullen, Dennis DiClaudio, and Rob Kuttner. Music by Cole Emhoff. Additional editing by Sunita Haberline. Graphic design by Crystal Dennis. Theme song by Andrew Lynn. Performed by Knotts. Additional support by Elizabeth Tavares. Distributed by Cincinnati Public Radio. The Novelizers is an AI-free podcast. Written, narrated, and edited, and scored entirely by human beings. Can you imagine that? The Novelizers is a work of unauthorized parody. Follow The Novelizers on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And please support us on Patreon. Copyright 2026, Novelizers, LLC.
Do you ever wonder how government in Cincinnati operates? Like, really operates? Sign up for WVXU's City Government 101 newsletter. You'll learn all the basics and more in a weekly email, giving you the tools you need to stay informed and get involved. Sign up at WVXU.org.